I'll tell you a little bit, and those of you, I think, that know the Islamic faith, this is probably all just sort of normal for a funeral to you, but it wasn't normal to me. And so I want to tell you a little bit about what he said. Because he said, you know, you have three things in life. You have your friends, you have what you own, the things you own, and you have your deeds, what you've done. And he said, you don't take your friends with you. They don't go to heaven with you. We're all still here. And I think there's a poem that says, your friends go to the graveside, but they don't go any farther. And he said, you know, the things you own, your objects, you can't drive a Maserati to heaven. You can't take it with you. I think a poem says, your objects don't even make it out of your house. They stay there. So it's your good deeds that go with you to heaven. And it's your good deeds that you take with you that speak for you in the next life. So I'm really feeling pretty proud of Rachel. I'm her dad. I'm feeling pretty good when I'm sitting there. All of a sudden, while I'm sitting there, I realize he's not talking to Rachel. He's talking to me. He's saying, what have you done? And so I guess I'm using that to talk to all of you, too. Thank you.
That's it for this week's Sprouts, radio from the grassroots. I'm Vinny Lombardo, this week's host and producer from Freak Radio, 101.1 FM in Santa Cruz, California. Sprouts is distributed and coordinated by the Pacifica Radio Network, thanks to Jim Bennett and Michael Yoshida at Satellite Operations. Air traffic controller is Ursula Rudenberg. You can find Sprouts archives and lots of other great programming online at audioport.org. Tune in next week for Sprouts, and thanks for listening.
All right, Free Radio listeners, we have a very special announcement here.
Hey, I want to throw a party on Seabright Beach. It's called the Old Time American Flag Burning Party. It's a Bring Your Own Flag event. We want to get the community out there and kind of fight this constitutional amendment that they're trying to ram through. It's already been through the House of Representatives, and after the 4th of July, they're going to try to pass it in the Senate. Looks like they're going to get it. So they're going to limit this freedom of speech that we hardly ever use, but it is quite an important one. So we're going to be burning some flags in the fire rings. That's July 1st, Seabright Beach, 7 p.m. We want to encourage people to be kind of clean and sober and not bring the party around that, because we're going to have some news media there to capture it. But we're going to have a celebration of this free speech symbol and celebrate it. Old-time American flag burning party out on Seabright Beach, this Friday, July 1st at 7 p.m. We're going to start. We're going to have some speakers, a little music, and then we're going to have a ceremony where the people can bring American flag and participate. And we'll just throw them. It is illegal. It's constitutionally protected. As of 1989, the Supreme Court said it is actually constitutionally protected
freedom of speech
yeah. Behavior. And now they're trying to take that away and say it's not speech, it's an action. And they're winning. You know, they got through the House. So right. We want to actually reclaim this and say, you know, we don't take burning flags lightly. We never do this. There are very few news documented flag burning cases in this county. People have been jailed for it, but you know, we're going to do it in illegal. We can burn anything in those fire rings. We're going to ask people not to bring plastic flags, you know, the nylon ones,
right?
Because that's, you know, very polluting. But bring your cotton or, you know,
hemp flags,
organic.
Maybe hemp?
hemp,
the original founding fathers had.
Hey, why not?
Yeah.
So I think this will be a powerful event. You know, people can. We can all participate in it. I kind of want to shove this one up their asses. I'm a little pissed off about it. You know, this guy who wrote this amendment is just trying to draw attention away from his own
indictment.
Yeah.
He's being indicted for corruption regarding some. He's like the head of the Arms Appropriations Committee in Congress, and then he's like having these arms companies buy his home for inflated value. And just there's so much corruption with this cat. I agree.
Yeah.
I don't remember his name. I think Richard. Duke.
Richard Cunningham.
Yeah, Richard Cunningham, that's right.
Yeah, I think he calls himself the Duke.
The Duke, yeah. Duke is duking us hard with this one.
Yeah. It's evil, typical flag-waving bullshit. They don't understand what the meaning of the flag. It symbolizes our freedoms.
Right.
And burning it, it even stands as much as the freedom to burn it. So that's a powerful symbol. And we don't burn flags, but just knowing that we can gives us a freer nation.
Absolutely, man.
So let's go burn a flag and protest this one.
I'm with you.
And it's not illegal. No one's going to get in trouble. Full-time American flag burning party out on Seabright Beach, this Friday, July 1st at 7 p.m. We're going to start. We're going to have some speakers, a little music, and then we're going to have a ceremony where the people can bring American flag and participate.
And join that ceremony. That's going to be on Free Radio Santa Cruz. Oops, now we're on Free Radio Santa Cruz. That'll be tomorrow. Stay with us now for Bathurst Spears Broadsides coming up with special guest Lisa
Molino.
Thank you, Lisa. We'll be right back. And that was Downtown by Guido Serpentino. I'm Robert Norris, and this is Bathrop's Pier's Broadsides, Civil Rights in Santa Cruz. What a concept! Actually, in the studio with me, you got Laugh in the distance. We're trying to make that a little more audible. We have guests today here on Bathrop's Pier's Broadsides, or the guest, and then the unseen presence of possibly another person who may or may not materialize if we get enough phone calls, of course. I'm talking about Lisa
Molyneux. Yeah.
It's not that hard a name to get, Lisa Molyneux, even though it's got an interesting kind of French-looking spelling. Here, let me get your mic down to your level. And I think, say something into the mic.
Hi, this is Lisa Molyneux.
And again?
Lisa Molyneux.
I think that we got you there. Now, I'm not sure.
Some of you know me.
Let's see. Say testing, testing.
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 One, two, testing.
I think we got you now. All right, I'm a little bit unsure. It's a little problematic again. Actually, we have a second mic. Let's really get you stereophonic.
Here we go. I'm unwrapping headphones.
Okay, now try the other mic.
True free speech. Testing.
I think that works better.
Put this one back.
I think we got you there. Lisa, for those who don't know, and that's probably almost everybody but me and Lisa and somebody and the mystery guest, works with a group or has a group called Greenway.
That's the name of the group once we get our permit.
Right. Greenway, as I understand it, this is actually I was tracking you down about 6 months ago, stalking you at the planning department, trying to find out who would be bold enough to, after 5 years of marijuana famine, with the exception of the Pacific Coast Cooperative, which was bold enough and then got shot down right away, the group that was opened up a medical marijuana dispensary, thank you. Now, the mystery guest has spoken from the corner. All right, that's it. Call the FCC. I'm going to introduce that's Cindy. Cindy's a mystery guest. Say hello, Cindy.
Hi, guys. Girls, gals.
There you go. Everybody, you can either scrunch together. We can try that other mic. Got kind of a combination of microphones here.
Now we're good. She can yell from the background.
Yeah, I think she can be heard. I want to just a quick couple of announcements. You obviously are probably listening to us on 101.1 FM, unlicensed and unapologetic. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz. I'm Robert Norris, and you can call in to this show. Phone lines open, 427-3772, 427-FRSC. If you want to reach Free Radio Santa Cruz off air because you want to pass on some hefty financial contributions, some sound advice, some nasty criticism, any donations, you know, your choice. You can give a call to 427-4523. If you want to catch me off the air, in a good mood, hopefully, you can call the Huff line. Huff is Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, which is a group I work with, civil rights for homeless people and such. 423-HUFF, H-U-F-F, 423-HUFF. Again, the call-in number for the studio, if you want to talk to Lisa, Cindy, and me, is 427-3772. And I'm really looking forward to this show today, even though I lost my notes, found my notes, and haven't read my notes. I did talk to Lisa at great length, at some length, on the phone. She was nice enough to talk to me on her cell phone from L.A., about a week ago, 2 weeks ago?
About a week ago.
And joining us in the studio is a number of other questionable individuals of all sorts. My God, the entire gang of criminals is here. It looks like Peter Koch. It looks like Andrea Tischler. We're waiting for Valerie Corral to show up, and then we'll just call the FCC and the Federal Drug Administration and get everybody in one swoop. This is a show in which we're going to be talking about the medical marijuana distribution problem in Santa Cruz. Everyone's familiar with Rach versus Ashcroft, who's into the medical marijuana scene. Everyone knows that.
Let's see if this mic works.
It's a mic issue.
Everyone knows that. You call it a Michelle rather than a mic, I guess. everyone knows that the feds are causing, you know, obviously great consternation with their decisions. I see the phone caller, by the way. Hang with me for just a moment, caller. But the real problem for a lot of us has been that in Santa Cruz itself, there's no medical marijuana situation. We're going to try this call and see if we can actually get this on the air. Hi there. I think you're on Free Radio. Are you there?
I hope I am, Robert. How you doing?
Hey, not bad. This sounds to me like Bob from L.A.
Bob Raming from San Diego area, yeah.
Hey, Bob. Let me ask you on this occasion. We've been talking regularly, and we will continue to talk regularly, but unless you got lots of specifics on medical marijuana, that's the topic we're talking about, and we're actually talking about local medical marijuana problems.
I'm listening to you online here. So.
Yeah, I mean, you're welcome to join us with this, but I know that you and I have been kind of carrying on a different conversation.
Yeah,
and
true.
I'd be happy to carry it on. I'd rather carry it on, though, at a point when we have a little more time. This is sort of, I've got four people here, all of whom I want to hear from.
Of course.
And I also want to hear from you.
I understand completely. I can call another time. I was, if you have time, just wanting to make one little comment.
Sure, go ahead.
That was about, at the beginning of the show, the gentleman that talked about the party tomorrow night to burn the American flags.
Right.
And he made a statement that, you know, burning American flags makes us a better country. And I don't have a problem with anybody burning the American flag if that's how they, you know, want to express themselves. But I think what makes us a better country is educating ourselves and dialoguing and learning the truth about history. I think that's what will make us a better country. You know, going out and burning a flag may make us feel proud of ourselves for a few minutes or brave or bold, or it may just be a great way to have fun with some friends at a groovy party on the beach, but that's the only thing I would like to say, Robert.
I hear you, Bob. I think what he was thinking, of course, is the Flag Desecration Amendment, which some people feel amounts to burning the U.S. Constitution.
Right.
And that was his point, that that's a way of both educating and expressing your outrage and your political determination not to let those liberties that I know you're concerned about
disappear. And I agree with him, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. And I think our friend Cunningham down here that is doing hanky-panky is violating all of the trust that the American people.
That's
put.
Representative Cunningham, who's proposed this flag desecration constitutional amendment. Yeah.
Anyway, I will let you go. What's a good? What would be a good day to call you back?
Why don't you try Sunday around noon?
Okay.
And maybe I've actually been passing around your book here for people to look
Great.
At in the studio, and you know, who knows? I may have actually read the first chapter by that point.
You're a great man.
Hey.
I will call you noon on Sunday if at all possible.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye bye. And we're in the studio. I want to introduce our other two guests who have snuck in. You have to, however, kind of belly up to the mic, you guys, because it's when you keep your mic here. Let's see if they can deal with that mic over there. Just grab it, and you can actually. Why don't you try passing it like this? That might work. Okay, so I'd like you to introduce yourselves if you feel like it. Say who you are and who you represent, what large corporations you have investments in.
Only the Compassion Flower Inn.
Andrea Tischler, perhaps?
Andrea Tischler. Mm-hmm.
And who's
a
that?
A longtime activist in Santa Cruz.
Right. And a great source of information. You're working on a Proposition Z-type measure, such as Oakland has, tax don't regulate, and let's skip this medical marijuana bullshit generally and try to get to the main issue, which is decriminalization or legalization or...
Legalization.
Just allowing, tax and regulation, whatever.
Tax and regulate it, legalize it for everybody.
And we also have in the studio with us...
Yeah, that'd be me. That's Peter Koch. Ran Pacific Coast Cooperative with a partner of mine. And yeah.
Yeah, I remember you were, you were struggling with the city council members. You know, really hopeful that once you'd been open for 6 weeks, that they would kind of see the light because there've been no complaints from neighbors because you've been successful in, you know, assisting a whole number of patients, that they would realize the fact that you were not in the appropriate zone might be the basis for an exception or...
Yeah, we spent many, many months looking for a way to open a dispensary within city or county, but mostly within the city because we felt it would be best to locate downtown where the majority of patients who do use the Metro, we found a place that was right downtown. We were very fortunate to find... a landlord that would give us the space. That's about 95% of it right there. We did find someone that once we explained to them how we feel a dispensary should operate, a very clinical environment, They gave us a chance. And even though we knew we were not in the correct zone, according to the ordinance, what was that, 2000 ordinance? Even though we were aware that it wasn't in the correct zone, we exhausted all other possibilities and said, yeah, well, let's just do it, and we'll show that it can operate without any impact on downtown business, without any impact on everyone seems to think there's, you know, that would contribute to loitering and vagrancy, and we
That's
so we
a big issue for anybody around the
yeah
facility.
Everyone's yeah it's a stigmatism that surrounds any
right.
kind of club, because they hear in the media that all these clubs, you know, downtown Oakland and San Francisco and all the problems. And so basically what people hear in the media is that, you know, I don't want one of these next to my house.
Yeah, but these council members should know better, because a block or two away from where you were operating was the Maple Street Club, which was open for 5 years, and it was no problem, and it was, you know, problem with the city until the feds closed it down, in a raid in 1998. So I'm less tolerant and patient of city council. I don't think they had any genuine concerns. I think there were some apprehensions by the merchants downtown, which apparently were not backed up by specific complaints about your... Did you hear of specific merchants saying, we don't want the Pacific Coast Cooperative?
We never heard any. In fact, we talked with all the merchants on our street within whatever distances we felt was, you know, would have an impact.
You were right across from the Metro Center.
We were directly across from the Metro Center. Actually looked down on it from the... We were on the second floor. We had a lot of tenants in our building that are there, and all...
radical collectives, attorneys and...
attorneys, architects, computer firm... variety of video editing company, all of which, some of which had apprehension initially when they heard that we were coming in. One of which was a rehab, drug rehab counselor, and he was very against it. And after about a month, he came to us and said, if this is the way it works, once we were open for about a month, he said, I'm all for it.
There's a question on Pages in Color. By the way, Pages in Color is the chat room that you can go to in case you are too shy to use the phone, 427-3772. Phone line is open. Or if there's somebody already on the phone, www.pagesincolor.com. And the chat room question is, are you seeking an emergency waiver of the current city ordinance? Peter looks pretty weary all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why are you so weary? What? Come on.
Well, because name one emergency ordinance that you've ever seen come up to.
Well, an example would be the juggling ordinance of 2003.
I remember that ordinance.
This was a situation where they passed an absurd law, which is still in force, essentially banning guitar cases that look for money. You know, where you're playing a performance downtown, you're panhandling by playing music, street performing. It bans it on much of the sidewalk, 75-80%, and bans sitting on 95%. And it also completely banned juggling everywhere.
Well, you had a lot of opposition to it. There were a lot of downtown merchants that didn't like it.
Well,
and now let's keep in mind...
There wasn't any juggling jihad.
Who are the downtown merchants? Who do we have a problem with? If we wanted to convince
city council
that we need to be downtown, who do we have to convince? We need to convince the Downtown Merchants Association.
No, the ordinance has to change.
Well, if you want to change the ordinance to the point where it allows for downtown, which it currently doesn't.
It doesn't really allow for anything. That's the problem.
Theoretically.
It was very hard to find a building that fit the ordinance and then to actually find a landlord that would allow the lease to
If you take the city zoning map.
I think we followed each other around for quite a few months.
Oh, yeah, we did. Oh, I'm sure we did.
I kept hearing that, somebody else already talked to us about this.
If you take the zoning, the official... that big 4x5 foot zoning map that they have over there in zoning.
Yeah, I think I saw Matt buying one, actually.
Did you?
Yeah.
We've had one in the office.
That was after they closed you down.
Yeah, we've had... Well, we actually had a version of it previously. I mean, basically, if you take that zoning... I mean, anyone on city council, I've met with almost all of them, they've all said, well, why can't you locate in this zone, that zone, or the other zone? Why can't you locate in that zone? Well, if you take that zoning map and you take out... all the other zones except the three, the IG, the industrial,
I know,
the
I did the same thing.
All that. Okay, and then draw a 600-foot circle around every school, around every park, and around every... I mean, and the things you can't see, which are I don't know, isn't the one of them's like a child daycare center or whatever, which could be a home business. I mean, you don't know. You can't see
I don't
some
know
of
that
things.
That's in there, actually. But
yeah, I don't think that's one of them. But
the point is, it's very, very
by the time you cover the map, you put circles on all those things, it basically covers the map. Well, actually, it does leave
playgrounds,
all that stuff. It actually does leave, but it does leave a few open spaces, and they're mostly big open fields in the middle of nowhere, way the hell out back there. You know,
build a building.
Yeah, there you go. What's your problem?
Even though they say, "Oh, we've got an ordinance that allows it," no, you don't.
Well, this has been, of course, my endless grumble for 5 years, and. You know, I think we finally got some people, at least people like Valerie Corral, who saw nothing wrong with this ordinance until May of this year, but now finally wrote a letter to Mayor Rotkin and said, let's get some changes here. Of course, we don't see any changes except the city attorney running to the city council to put on hold all the permits that are already, the only one is yours.
Well, and what I would have said is my permit hasn't actually made it to the city council because it's being held up by the city attorney. It was on its way there, and he pulled it. The day that the Supreme Court came down with their ruling, which didn't really change anything.
Let me clarify again who we got in the studio. We got Cindy, who has an occasional comment from the side, but has been keeping a low profile. We have Lisa, who is working to open up a dispensary in Harvey West and has been applying for, what, since November at the...
August of last year, actually.
August of last year.
And my approach was to do it fully in front of everybody and go full to the city and...
Right. Let me ask you more about that moment again.
That.
Remind you that, and then giving the description of the travails of the Pacific Coast Cooperative is Peter Koch, and then discreetly in the back, controlling the whole show is Andrea Tischler.
That's right. She's doing it quietly.
Yeah, but I'm the one holding the microphone.
The real question.
He's
is
holding
who
it far
the dope
from her.
Is the question.
No, none at all.
Yeah. It's just five dopes in the studio. But you, too, can be a dope and join this dopey group. Give a phone call, 427-3772. Let me, if anybody wants to talk back there, feel free to jump on in. But I'm gonna focus on you, Lisa, because you came up from Los Angeles, maybe not for this show, but you know.
Going back and forth right now trying to work and get my permit at the same time. So.
What made you decide to try to open up a medical marijuana dispensary in Santa Cruz? And, I mean, is
I'm
you,
a
are you just a masochist? Is that the idea? You just want to, you know, you like
it's
flagellating?
It's turned into that. It's turned into that. But I'm a patient that I was driving a long way. I probably, you would spend 3 or 4 hours to go out of Santa Cruz to find safe access, whether it's Hayward, I think, is probably the closest at this point. But that's still an hour and a half drive. And every time I would go to one of these clubs, I would talk to people that are in there, and they were all, half of them were from this area. And either this or Gilroy, you know.
My partner, Matt, he managed.
I know, I was
going to
say, Hayward.
And he said the same thing. We had a lot of people from out here.
So
why is nothing in Santa Cruz? So
that's what
we researched. Yeah.
Well, that's what I
say
went
hello
in.
To council member Tim Fitzmaurice
no,
and
actually,
Mike Rotkin.
Yeah. No, actually, I started at the law library and to find I didn't know there was an ordinance.
Those are the two people currently on the council, including Matthews, who apparently have shown no particular interest, at least in any tangible way, whatever they may have said to you privately about changing this ordinance.
Nobody has said anything out to me. I'm just saying that it needs to open up the zoning a little bit because that was very difficult. I have my binder with me, which I used when I was searching, and it's pages and pages long. And... when I actually found a landlord, the space is really huge, and I'm currently paying for that space while I'm waiting for the permit. And
how much are you paying?
Too much.
It's about $5,000 a month.
How many months have you been holding this for?
Two.
Just about. This is the third month right now.
And Peter,
you know, the concern is the question is how
dollars.
Far do I go into debt? You know, I really want to make it happen because everybody needs it.
Peter, is that the same situation with you? Are you guys still holding the space on Pacific Avenue?
No, we have actually vacated as of today.
Really?
You're
you guys
gone.
Hold on that long.
So you after
yeah, we were there up until today.
How many months did you pay rent for?
We've actually been there since December of last year. We took our time getting it set up properly. Setting a nice environment. We took our time and got it set up.
And you had a couple months of actually being able to serve people.
Yes, we did. We did operate for about 6 weeks, 7 weeks, something like that.
Unfortunately.
Almost 2 months. Yeah, just shy of 2 months.
Yeah, I went in and checked you guys out when I heard you were there. And
yeah.
It was a nice facility. Pretty low profile.
Very, very clinical environment, very clean and off the street, out of the way. Yeah, it was.
What about the people who've said, I think ill-advisedly, you know, you just cause trouble. You come in, you lie to the city council, you lie to the planning department, you falsify records.
Well, you know what? We didn't have to. If we didn't want to, we wouldn't have had to get a business license in the first place. The only reason we got a business license is so we could at least have something to go with. We could have operated without a business license. Hell, we operated without a special use permit, but we weren't going to apply for a special use permit in a zone that it wasn't zoned for. We had a place picked out back in December, and it was in the Harvey West area, Vernon Avenue, actually, across from the...
I looked at the space that there.
There was a big industrial building out there.
Yeah.
The building we're in is owned by the same people. The same management company, actually. I take that back. Management company.
Didn't seem safe to me, that area. That's why
it didn't. It didn't. But the upper floor of that building became available in the back end.
I looked at it.
And that was, okay, it meets the zoning requirements. You know, what do we do? Okay, so that means we got to lock up the lease. Now, what landlord is going to say, okay, we'll hold it for you for 4 months, you know, and give you time to get a permit and all that? It's just...
I actually had that going until another facility came in and tried to take my building, Merrymed RX.
Oh, you know, let's, what about...
Yeah, and I'm not dissing them at all. You know, they were looking for a space, too.
I heard a lot of things that seemed to indicate they should be dissed, and Merrymed...
Well, then they came back and tried to buy it, apparently. I'm not...
Right.
Well, the building, I mean, that building that we're referring to on Vernon Ave, all of a sudden, out of the blue, the county, from what I understand, the county made an offer on the entire space. We only wanted about 20% of it. Made an offer on the entire space. So, of course, as the owner of the building, you know, I'd want to go for the long term.
Which is what happened to me.
At that time, they said, well, hey, what do you think about this office building we have downtown across from the metro? And we said, yeah, perfect. We found that 50% or better of our patients used the metro. We thought it was somewhere around 20, 30%. We were surprised to find out how many people
actually... You actually surveyed them? Or?
We asked them. We asked them, where are you coming from? How'd you hear about us? Because we had no advertising. So we were curious. You know, how'd they hear about us? How did they get here? And is the parking issue downstairs a problem? Because, you know, downtown, parking problem. And they said, oh, no, we don't have to worry about parking. We just took the metro over here because I can't drive. I mean, we found a lot of patients used... I mean,
which
that just reinforced the fact that it needs to be right.
Well, the building that I did find in the Harvey West area has 3 bus stops right near it, which was a bonus to me.
Mm-hmm.
And the only issue I'm running into now is the park itself. But
talk about the problem there. I know that when I talked to Mike Ferry, he told me you applied in November, not in August, so that was an error.
Yeah, I applied in November, but I was looking for a building from August to November.
I see. So he was correct there.
He was correct.
And then of course
you have to have the building to file for the permit.
And then again, you have to be able to get the planning department to act on it. Sometimes it takes 3 to 6 months, is what he was telling me.
Yeah, and you actually apply for the permit on behalf of the owner of the property because a special use permit is on the property. So,
well, they sign a paper saying that they have leased the building, knowing full well what you're using it for, and they have to do that for any special use permit. It's just not the medical marijuana. That's part of their system.
Why should this require a special use permit? I mean,
that's the way the ordinance is written.
I'm saying, why should this require a special use permit? Is there any legitimate reason for that?
So they can regulate it.
Well, can it be regulated in some other way?
Well, I think they were trying to make it go through the city planning department. Yeah, they could. I've suggested, how about a pharmacy permit? I think that's what they
do. Yeah, actually recommended.
That's what they do in West Hollywood.
I think
that's West Hollywood, what they do.
One of the council members had said, why don't you just get a pharmacy permit, operate on a pharmacy permit?
The city
actually recommended to me that we should have the pharmacy permit.
I see. Did you try that again to get a pharmacy?
No.
You have to file for how the ordinance...
I've met with many city council members.
I want to hear about this, but before we do, Peter, why... Talking to Peter Koch of the Pacific Coast Cooperative, why did you decide... To leave after you had all this good dialogue with the council members who are so pro medical marijuana? Why did you decide to leave this friendly town?
How many of us were there? How many of us in this room were there after that all happened to us? At least 3 of us were there at that city council meeting. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, you had some patients there.
I was in LA working.
Yeah, I'm not criticizing you for not.
No, no,
there.
I'm just saying. I wish
immediately.
I wish I could have.
How many of us were there? Okay. How many patients show up at a city council meeting saying, I've got nowhere to go? They don't see this as a big priority. they don't have 100 patients showing up at city council meetings.
Yeah, but remember, I urged you to organize this, and you told me, no, we're going to use quiet diplomacy.
Your methods and mine differ.
I know, but how can you get them down there unless they know that it's happening? I mean, did you let them know that it was happening?
We told patients we were going to be looking for support.
Right.
But we have our way of doing that. You have your way of doing that. And as
but they were informed. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, we informed as much as we could. But you know what? Most patients don't want to be
high profile.
They want to come in. They want to go somewhere and have no one else know that they're a patient. And no, they don't want to go before city council. They don't want to be.
But remember, WAM
identified.
WAM seems to have been able. I mean, WAM. I just want to, for the record, is having a rally, I believe, on the 17th. Maybe it's the 16th. I'm going to double check with the Indy Media here as I look this over. Let's see. WAM has a medical marijuana parade coming up, and it's going to be on July 16th, Saturday, 12 noon, the Pacific Garden Mall, and beginning at the corner of Pacific and Cathcart, walking north, proceed to Church Street, assembled Santa Cruz City Hall, where a press conference will be held, of course, not about Santa Cruz and medical marijuana here, but about Raich versus Ashcroft. Now, I'm hoping that Valerie will get off the stick and actually also address, where else but at City Hall, would you address the local issue of medical marijuana? But she has promised to post this issue on her website, and her website remains. There's nothing there. She did send a letter to City Hall, but she didn't post the letter, and there's no urging of individuals who are WAM members who do show up at these rallies. She has very good. She has. I mean, you saw that. I don't know if you saw it. You probably were out of town, but there was a big rally, and you may be out of town too. But you were there, Andrea, at the town clock. You know, the day after the Raich versus Ashcroft, and it was massive.
Okay, now you're talking about a rally, and then what I started saying, which got you onto this issue, was how many patients show up at a city council meeting saying they have nowhere to go. City council does not see the fact that there is no dispensary in town as being a problem. In my opinion,
right? But
I mean, how many patients are showing up?
But I think if Valerie had held that rally on a Tuesday and led them to city council, they would have gone there. I mean, if they're willing to be in front of the media, in front of the cars honking, they will also go to the city council. And I'm saying that I don't blame you. You're new in town, you know. You're trying to provide a service. And I don't blame even Andrea. I blame people who have the power who don't use it. And that's what pisses me off. And you know, obviously, they also have their own fish to fry. I mean, we're talking about seriously ill people here who need their medication, and you don't want to put them at risk. But obviously, it's not just them. It's thousands of other people, perhaps less seriously ill, but still in need of this access, who are being denied that because of the failure of leaders in our community to do what they need to do.
Or to act quickly upon what they need
to
do.
Yeah, right. Well, getting back to you.
Instead of dragging it out.
Yeah, let's talk about that. You've been dragged out. Now, come on. We have to examine and make sure the kids aren't going to be lighting up joints behind the school because you're furnishing them with dope, right?
That's the opinion, actually. It's a hippie club. It's a hangout. There's hookahs and everything's. Everybody's having a good, happy day, but that's really not what it is.
What are you looking to put in there?
It's going to be more around like a pharmacy on that end of the dispensary.
So it's not like the old marijuana club where you could actually come in and medicate on the premises.
No, you cannot. You'll have to come in and get it and leave. Mm-hmm. You will be able to stay for other things like massages, which will be offered, you know.
In fact, Cindy here is going to be active in the massage business.
And she's an excellent healer. Uh-huh. She's a Reiki master also.
Right. So what is a Reiki master?
It's energy work. Uh-huh. Okay. With massage, it's pretty intense. But that'll be offered to our patients. There's a lot of programs that we'll offer, but we have to get off the ground first. And the delay, the city has a process that they go through, and they told me at the beginning it would be 3 months, and it did take 3 months. But they rejected my building because I was 40 feet too close to Harvey West Park. And the city, that was the planning department, told me that they would not.
40 feet too close to the park, not too close to the children's area of the park, but too close to the park itself.
Right.
Well, the planning.
The ordinance calls out the playground in a park, but it was deemed that the whole park is a playground because it's a baseball field and a swimming pool. And so I went out, I was asked to look for another building, which stopped the permit process at that point. After 2.5 months, it was really close. And I went looking for another building.
And what did you find?
Nothing. What I found was the Vernon Street one that you were talking about, which I deemed was... I didn't talk to the city about it. It just didn't look safe. The area wasn't safe enough for patients or easy enough to access. The parking lot was difficult. And then I found another one down on River Street, and I would have leased it, but they had just leased a next door to a drug rehab, which you have to be 600 feet from. So that was out.
Have you considered maybe kind of locating it up, say, maybe 8 floors up, so it would be 600 feet in
the air? Yeah, I thought about that. Can we measure this in height?
Right. Maybe underground. You know, like underground garage project.
A boat. How about a boat? I'll put it out on
put
the...
It out, yeah. Put it out. There you go. They do that with radio stations. They put them on boats, right?
I thought of every... I'm sure I've even thought of buying the place, you know, just like the other facility was thinking of doing. But... I came to the conclusion that the building was just going to be too hard. Another landlord was going to be too hard to find. And I went back to the city and appealed the 40 feet. So the permit process started all over again. And at this point, if it could get to the city council or the planning commission, they would decide on that 40 feet. That's what they have to decide on.
Well, the planning department does have the authority, according to the ordinance, to make
the planning commission does.
The planning does to make exception to the distance if they feel it is, I guess, quote unquote, in the better interest of the community.
But we're starting out with a controversial.
Yeah. Well, the other thing I'll tell you.
Issue already.
What I have.
So their plan was to go in fully clean, and that didn't work. So they let me go back, and we're fully clean, but 40 feet. We've met the ordinance in every way, but the 40 feet.
Right.
So we're asking for an exception to that 40 feet.
Which means it's going to go to it's going to be a public hearing, and they feel
it can be approved at the planning commission.
From what I understand, there anything related to this particular special use permit is going to go before a public hearing, because there are residents in that neighborhood, not far from where you're looking there.
Not many.
where the residents are very unhappy with the raid that had happened. There was a grow operation going on there. I have talked to owners of property in there that own some of the residential, some of the commercial property and residential property, and he was a little dissatisfied with the fact that he can't find tenants for his property because the neighborhood has gone to quote-unquote hell because of the activities going on there.
Actually, so that's where they've relocated all the homeless advocate buildings are over there.
Oh, the homeless service center.
So they have
the building that I'm taking. They used to be in my spot.
from what I understand, unofficially, from what I understand is that they feel there's going to be a lot of residential... residences and
I don't know where there's like
speaking up against wanting something in that part.
But there are a couple of things here that should be said. First of all, you know, it's not, you know, I mean, if we
first
we're gonna,
you have to get
every
there.
Bigot or an apprehensive person, let's be generous, or even person with legitimate concern, a veto on this kind of issue, you're never going to have it. That's the first thing.
Exactly, and actually, the planning department has taken that stand too.
Right,
you have
that's
to
good.
Say yes.
Good for them.
You
but
can't
the second
say
thing
no
is, if we have a city attorney who I don't want to say has his head up his ass, because that would be unfortunate, but let us say a city attorney is very conservative on a number of issues.
Exactly.
And who I don't know if he's under the thumb of the city manager or I don't know whose thumb these people are under, but
he's under the impression the city can be sued for handing out a permit.
Well, and they possibly could be. The question, though, is what is the desire of the majority of the citizens of the city and what are the needs of the people who are not being served? And what are the commitments of the people in power in the city council as constituents who elected them? Right?
We have a state SB 420, a Senate bill that was passed that is actually a mandate to cities
and
counties.
Plus, what is the law, right?
Yeah, it's a mandate to cities and counties in California to make guidelines for this access. So I don't really. That's my thing to the city attorney. Why would they sue the city when you've been mandated by the state? It seems like they would go for the state, but that's not an issue at this time with the Supreme Court or anybody. State laws haven't changed.
So what's happened now is that even the idea of a planning commission hearing has been put on hold, pending the word from the royal attorney, I mean the court attorney, the city attorney, John Barisoni. And, you know,
spoke to him, he hadn't read a lot of the documentation that's out there, including SB 420, which I found quite surprising.
Really? When was
I
that?
Asked him. I asked him directly, have you read it? And he said no. And I asked him to please read it before he gave an opinion to the city council.
Well, maybe he's taken it at home and is reading it kind of paragraph by paragraph every night, you know, kind of slowly getting closer to the...
I don't know the man. I don't want to, you know...
Peter's
I'm sure he does his job, but...
Peter's looking at his watch. You say you have to leave in about 10 minutes.
Yeah, I gotta leave.
Do you have any comments on what you've heard so far?
On the discussion here, this is, I mean, we're all fighting an uphill battle.
Yeah, we are.
It's,
I'm still fighting.
And, it's in the interest of the patients. I mean, in the That's time we were open, it's incredible how many patients came in that were just so glad to see that we were there. And
it's all about the patient.
We tried to make a statement
really.
Saying, you know, okay, you know, we were there for close to 2 months, and were there any problems? Were there any of these issues? Were there any, was there loitering on the street? Was there, did any of this occur? That all the tenants in our building, the neighbors, the neighboring businesses downstairs, they didn't see any of that.
I read a statement from one of your neighbors that said he didn't know you were there. So I mean, that's,
quiet as a mouse.
I meant to take that and highlight it and send it to everybody
well,
I know. But
you know, that's where it should be.
But you're leaving. You're out of here. You're gone today.
No, we already left. Yeah.
And you left. What's happening?
What
are you looking for another medical marijuana?
No. Actually, my partners, we are going to continue to maintain a presence here in Santa Cruz. We are going to open an office. A local patients advocacy group. We are working closely.
Do you
want to
lease some space? I got 5,000 square feet.
Don't need that much. We're basically going to we're opening a we're starting. We've already started actually. We're going to start a local patients advocacy group. We want to get all the patients to contact us, and we want to represent those patients when we do go to city council, because the ASA is working with us, Americans for Safer Access.
Me too.
Okay. We're working with them. We're going to put together some information to educate the public as to what, not only public, but the city council, this ordinance that they claim allows for a dispensary in all of these zones. Actually, by the time you cover up the map with all these 600-foot circles, it completely covers it. It is a prohibitive
past
ordinance.
The city attorney and the plan and the special
yeah,
use
we've
permit.
Got, yeah, we're going to be dealing with all of that.
I was actually moving forward pretty well until we hit the attorney.
Yeah, we're talking with
the ASA has a letter that they gave me today that's for the attorney. I'm gonna drop that off at his office tomorrow morning. They're actually sending it to him, but I wanted to get it to him as soon as possible.
Talking with Lisa Molyneux, Peter Kutch, and then on the sidelines it's Cindy and Andrea keeping an eye on us to make sure we don't get too far out of hand. I'm Robert Norris. This is Bathrop Spears Broadsides, and if you've tried to call and I haven't noticed you, I really will keep an eye on this. For once, silent telephone line, 427-3772. So give a call in if you want, because Peter has to leave shortly. If you got any questions for him, you better get him in. I think we may have a little more time with our other guests, but who knows? You know, I mean, it's a busy world we live in. Apparently, the city council is busy getting ready to go on vacation and ignore this whole issue as usual. If you want to call the city council, call them, 420-5020, 420-5020. That's a 24-hour line. And what should they tell the city council, Peter and Lisa?
I would encourage them to pass the permit so they can get their medicine locally without... you know,
so this could
go into the street.
City council could immediately pass this permit, put it on the next agenda, and do it.
Yes, it could, actually. The attorney's been talking to them. And to me, if they tell us to proceed, then that's an approval.
So it's in the city's hands. The city council, 4 city council members could say, give the permit to
I think
to
it's
Lisa.
Only 3 that you need.
you need 4 to pay for a majority.
Okay.
Usually, I mean, at the city council, that's a majority.
Does that include
it
the mayor?
It doesn't have to include the mayor. It could include anybody. You know, it could include the mayor. But this means that today, Mike Rotkin, Cynthia Matthews, Tony Madrigal, this whole group of great liberals that we have running the city, Tim Fitzmaurice, Ed Porter, Ryan Coonerty, you call them up, and the number to call is 420-5020, and you tell them.
We need this facility in Santa Cruz.
And what about Peter? What do you think? Is there something else they should say to them? Just open the grant a permit facility. Is there anything else you'd have them say? You'd have the public say to the city council members?
Well, the city council members, even though they may be willing to consider an amendment to the ordinance to allow for dispensaries, to loosen it a little bit to actually allow for dispensary to actually open. Their concern is that if they do make any changes to the ordinance, they're going to have a quote-unquote scene. You remember Mayor Rodkin mentioned, well, how were you able to operate without creating a scene? Well, there's a certain way you do it, and that's what we did. So it's a little more complicated than just...
It's called being responsible.
Responsible.
Well, I'm looking for the city council to be responsible. Is there any message you want the public to give the council at 420-5020 in addition to... You know, let's get this permit out of the doldrums for Lisa's Greenways Club. Cindy, what's your...
Yeah, just support us. That's support. Support the, what the community needs.
Yeah, the demand is certainly there. I mean,
Andrea, anything you want to add to this?
Well, I think I just want to honor these medical marijuana proprietors or potential proprietors before the hard work. I'm just thinking how difficult it is to open up a dispensary here in Santa Cruz, and has been for, oh, as long as I can remember, 5 years or so since the ordinance, and no dispensary in Santa Cruz. That tells me that the city has made it extremely difficult for anybody to open up a dispensary anywhere.
We got a call, Andre. Let me interrupt you for a moment here. Hang on. Hi, you're on Free Radio with all five of us.
Yeah, hi, Robert and Andrea and the rest. My opinion is that it's simply not going to happen. I think the window is closed. You're not going to see anybody on the Santa Cruz City Council stand up in support of medical marijuana in any realistic way.
And why do you say that, Bob?
There's not the political will there, and they'll find one way or another to dodge the bullet. I think that's what's postponed this since, and Andrea can remember the original pot club, whenever that was in the mid-90s. I think what it boils down to now is civil disobedience. I hope I'm wrong.
Do my ears deceive me? Is this Bob LaMonica talking about civil disobedience?
If you're going to open a pot club in Santa Cruz, you're not going to get the blessings of Mike Ruck. Now, I hope I'm wrong.
Well, of course, he's written Peter Koch saying, I'm go right ahead. I'd love to have you help open up, just not downtown. I imagine he's told you.
He's
on your team, right? Except he doesn't seem to be doing shit about putting it on the agenda, right?
They'll find one way or another to block it. And the heat is coming on for the clubs in San Francisco. They're going to start to shut down clubs or figure out ordinances to keep clubs closed.
Lisa says they just passed Nordens. Thanks, Bob. Anything more?
No, I bless the work. I hope for the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. So you say, Lisa, that there's been an action today in San Francisco,
I was speaking to the legal campaign director from ASA today, and he said that they had passed guidelines, at least. I don't know if it's an actual ordinance, but it's guidelines, and they're hoping that that will now protect... The clubs are waiting to see if they'll be raided still, because they've been operating in San Francisco without an ordinance or any kind of protection of the law.
There was some sort of hokey moratorium that they whipped into play because they had some, what I felt were bogus concerns about irresponsible clubs. They got I don't know, one or two horror stories. And then they extended it.
You're always going to have those.
Of course. But they haven't been, as Bob, our caller, just said, they haven't really been. There's no freeze. There's no attempt to crack down on existing clubs at the city level, right?
No.
In fact, there's justification and support for them, right?
Yes. I think what they did was they had so many. They had over 40 of them at the time. And they were trying to get their guidelines laid out. And they still had people coming and opening clubs there. Mm-hmm. When Oakland closed down... Their permits, all but three, all those clubs went to San Francisco. So it seems like everybody started moving to San Francisco.
I may have to go to San Francisco. Obviously.
Yeah, but, you know, even after the moratorium, apparently they said some open, but I read that that's not true. They were already open before that happened. But
how has it affected? Has anybody been up to San Francisco recently? Has the club scene gotten more paranoia, more apprehensive? Does anybody know?
I've been around the clubs in West Hollywood, and it's not...
How's everything down there?
Same as always. Nothing changed.
How's Scott Immler doing down there?
I don't know, Scott.
You don't know.
I've been going to Don's Club.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Scott was one of the original workers with the Santa Cruz Cannabis Club and Cannabis Buyers Club, I guess it was called, on Maple Street. The illegal club that the caller mentioned.
There? I mean, there's about 30 of them down there now.
Yeah, he operated a cooperative down in West Hollywood for a number of years, and really had the support of the city council of West Hollywood. In fact, he was even able to get a loan from, which was guaranteed or paid for part. He went into partnership with the city of West Hollywood, but then he got popped by the DEA. They came in and they closed him down, and he had some health problems also. So, and I don't think he had to go to jail, but. He still had to stay out of
his club.
Close his club.
Well, the question for me is, how do we get a club open here in Santa Cruz? And I think the answer is, frankly, is what the caller says. Of course, that's been my line for a long time on a lot of issues, that the more citizen action, both legal and extra legal, the better. And often that's what's really what's needed, because politicians don't want to take action unless they see some pressing reason for it, often, or unless they
let
can
them
make
all
some
know.
Yeah, some political capital of it. Now I try to whip things up, and I've been beating poor Andrea over the head for years on these issues, and she's been working on the tax and regulate measure, and all she worked last year on getting the county to set up guidelines. How's that going, Andrea, with the county?
Well, that's going very well. We still have the £3 limit for medical marijuana patients in Santa Cruz County, which is very good, and 100 square feet of garden canopy that you can grow for yourself, and you can have a caregiver also do that. And that's very liberal. That's the best about in the state. There's all the counties usually have less than that. There's Sonoma County that has a similar guideline.
Did they increase that recently or not?
No, they didn't increase it.
Has the county shown any tendency to start getting as restrictive as the city in its other regulations? Are they looking at special use permits and stand on your head permits and that sort of thing? Or what?
Well, we may have to go to the county to get an ordinance.
They were actually looking at one last January, and I know Mark Demings was looking at doing that, and they put it on hold in February.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why.
So because there are no...
Again, they were waiting for the race
Supreme
decision.
Court.
Yeah, right. And now that that's come down unfavorable to medical marijuana patients, then now they have an excuse to put everything on hold, saying, well, we don't want to get sued, and we don't want to have the feds come in here and sue us.
Everybody says it's unfavorable. It was unfavorable, but it didn't really change anything. It didn't... They restated the law as it stood. And what they did was pushed it on to the next court, which is Congress and the FDA, changing it to a Schedule 2, and that's really what has to happen.
Absolutely.
If that happens, everything changes.
So everybody is
overnight.
Sick out there, just
overnight.
Hang on until the Congress acts to change things to Schedule 2.
Well, the Supreme Court really can't regulate drugs. They don't do that. So what they it's the red tape.
They just
it's,
eliminate
they had
rights.
To go
that's
through,
what they...
We had to go through them to get to Congress. It's red tape and steps. I work in the corporate world, or I have in the past, and it's all, we have to do this before we can get to here. And
Well, I hear you.
We're
hear,
past the Supreme Court now. We have to move on to Congress.
Well, people have been trying to move on Congress for years.
You're
course,
right, but now we can
problems.
Focus on it.
Well, I don't know if that's going to, I think that there are also arguments to use with the Supreme Court, as Pebbles Trippett pointed out a couple of shows ago, Medical Marijuana Patients Union up in Ukiah and the Mendocino area, that there are other arguments that have been used that are not, that people wanted to use in the Raich versus Ashcroft case, but the attorneys refused to allow them to be used. And I don't quite now remember what they were. Maybe, Andrea, you do, but maybe you don't. I'm not sure what the story is. But the county has often been cited as a sort of an escape valve. Robert, and this is me, I'm always going on about the city, and it doesn't have any medical marijuana clubs. Who cares? There are beautiful places like the Hemporium, which D.A. Bobley took a particular interest in, up in Felton. There's MaryMed in the county. I think I'm told there are also a couple of other clubs on the fringes of the city. Anybody have any news about those clubs or distribution centers? Anybody know anything about them?
I don't. I think MaryMed is actually doctors that dispense. I believe. I could be wrong about
or
that.
Doctor's assistants.
Or doctors that...
Or assistants to doctor's assistants. Or
something.
People taking your $100 checks and issuing you cards.
Yeah,
and
I haven't been
sort of
in
thing.
There, so I don't really know. I can't. But
I'm not being entirely fair to MaryMed, but I wasn't terribly impressed, frankly. I did interview them. They were at the hearing that you and Matt Hilliard, Peter, were at when you tried to... The session after you were raided by the... Or closed down by the planning department. And... They were doing the same line. Oh, that Peter and that Matt, they didn't use my name, but they're so irresponsible because they open up a club without having all their papers in order. So what's the alternative? Do nothing and not open a club. Wait for the Supreme Court or Congress or the federal agencies to no, you can't do that. Obviously, and that's why we're all here today, because you can't wait.
Well, no, and I tried to take the approach of doing what they had asked the public to do if they wanted this permit. So I'm trying to follow through, and it's bogged down. We'll see if it actually happens. I'm
call in line is
trying
open.
To be positive.
Yeah, if you want to cut some, you've got some positive thoughts for us, or maybe some nice negative thought, whatever you got. money to donate. 427-3772. Advice to give. How can people before you disappear, Peter, and you may slip out at any time now. Let me just get from folks what their contact numbers and how people can reach them if they want to get in touch either by email or by phone or by website, so that if they want more information about Greenways, which you're with, Lisa, or I don't know whether you call the Pacific Coast Cooperative or the, you know, the RIP Pacific Coast Cooperative or the future Pacific Coast Cooperative, in the heavenly Pacific Coast Cooperative.
I'm sure a lot of people would like to see that above your name.
Yes. Let's not get into that yet.
I love your car, by the way.
We will be maintaining the primary phone number that we have for patients to contact us. We are going to start an advocacy group. And
give that number.
That is 454-0215.
It's 831-454-0215 to get in touch with the Pacific Coast Cooperative and or its future incarnations. Even though the building is gone, the builders are lurking about and perhaps ready to set down roots again if the soil ripens up. Lisa, how can people reach you?
They'll have to use, it's a 408, it's a cell phone number, 829-9096. There'll be another number once we get going, but I'll refer it to that. So
408, it's 829-9096 for Lisa Molyneux, correct?
Molyneux.
I'm going to mull that one over. And Andrea, for those who want to help with the tax and regulate movement, what's the number you can be reached at?
Well, the tax and regulate and medical marijuana issues, I mean, I'm kind of working on both of those. 420-0420. And I just want to say, Robert, if I just could say that, something where we, I think, need to go is the ordinance is going to have to be amended. That's definitely what has to happen. The way I see it, it's so difficult for people to start a dispensary here, and the fact that we don't have any dispensary after 5 years, it is going to have to be amended. And I think the way in which to do that is to decrease the the amount of distance that you can be from a school, a playground. 600 feet is really it's really a very, very big circle. And they measure that as across yards, too, directly.
Well, and they measure it from the property corner, not from the actual building, which
right.
could be, you know.
And it's absolutely impossible, I think, on Soquel Avenue and on Mission Street to even find a place that is not within 600 feet.
I couldn't find one.
Yeah. So there's a perfect example. And, Matt, you also. So that's got to be
Well, look
changed.
Harder. Now, come on.
Maybe reduced to 300 feet. You know, that's reasonable. That's
Get
still a whole city block, a couple city blocks. You know, and that's reasonable. I've had a lot of experience in medical marijuana clubs and dispensaries for the last more than 10 years, actually. And I've never had a situation where any patient has gone out from a dispensary or club, even after it was what we had on Maple and Cedar was right in a residential neighborhood a block over from Pacific Avenue. And there was never anybody reselling the cannabis on the street. So I think that's just like that's extreme to do that.
Yeah.
You know, 600 feet is too far. It makes it much more possible to find a place with 300 feet.
Much.
Is there actually, let me ask you guys, is there any laws in other cities that have these kind of distance requirements? Are they standard in cities with laws governing medical marijuana in California? Does anybody know?
Every city has a different ordinance.
Right,
and I think some of them have already, because of that same situation, have reduced the
Some of them started at 1,000 feet.
Yeah, 1,000 feet. And then you're like a half a mile down the road, you know.
That's out of
from
nowhere.
From any school or daycare or or
so
park.
There's a
I'm sorry.
Available out there
so Santa Cruz's law is not unique then.
Not necessarily.
But it is unique in the sense that it has a particular ban on downtown business district stuff.
Well, I think that's another thing that really needs to change because, you know, south of Cathcart, there could very easily be a dispensary anywhere in that area, and that's Matt. And we tried really to get him, you know, zoned in, but it just fell on deaf ears before the city council. Right across the street from the bus station, many of these patients are in wheelchairs, or they have some difficulty in getting around,
right.
And they come busing into Santa Cruz. So much easier to be able to walk, or, you know, just a short distance for them. And then they're back on the bus. So I really think that the downtown area, certain parts of the downtown area should be, because those areas are like within 600 feet of a school or
it's only 50 feet to a residence, so that's a little different. But
yeah, and this is all commercial, a totally commercial area, and there's no reason why, and then nobody would object to it, as Matt evidenced. Nobody in his building really complained about them being there. If you handle it discreetly and
What closed them down, I think, was your article in the...
What about that, Matt?
It was the next day or
we've
something.
I've had people say to me, Matt guy, he ain't too smart, or else, you know, why would he possibly invite the good times to come snooping around? Were you an idealist? Were you? Did somebody pay you off from the good time? You get a bribe.
Turning a little red right now.
Right.
No, that.
I thought that was the sun.
Well, okay, Matt was my partner. Okay.
Right. Sorry, Peter.
We had discussed whether or not we want to have word of it, but we were operating a facility that everyone in the building had no problem with. I didn't feel there was a problem with the public knowing that we were there. I mean, that's what we were there to serve, was those patients. And if the public had any interest in knowing how a dispensary should be working, there we are. We were there for a month prior to that article coming out. It gave the public the opportunity to see, wow, okay, I guess there's a dispensary right here, but I don't see it. You know, that's... We didn't have a problem with the publicity. We didn't think it would create that big of an issue.
And
it didn't. We didn't get raided. I mean, you mentioned earlier that we got raided, and that's not...
Well, the planning department showed up.
No, the planning department gave us a letter saying, you know, you're operating a business that you should have a special use permit for, and we don't... They basically said if you got a business license for a consulting firm, but we have reason to believe, by way of the article, that you're operating a dispensary. And if you are, and if you're doing what we think you're doing, then you need to stop doing that and apply for a special use permit.
It was a stop order. I mean, by a raid, I don't mean they stole your stuff,
yeah,
but
I'm
they
just,
stole your
clarify.
Business and they
shut
you
down.
That shut
we, down. Didn't, we didn't, you know, we got a stop order. Mm-hmm. Saying that if you're operating a dispensary, you're not supposed to be operating a dispensary without a special use permit.
But
apparently they had complaints, though, when they got that article. When people read that article, they started getting complaints, and that's why they did it.
Well, yeah, that's why they did it. I'm not saying that they went out of their way.
They had said they weren't going to do anything unless somebody complained.
You know, that's the bottom line is someone had to complain. Right. And
do we know who complained or what kind of group complained or who?
Well, I don't think it. Well, seeing as
wasn't a private
was having problems getting a permit, Lisa would be the first one to look at here. Why? I know. I'm not saying you did.
I'm all for it.
Now it's exposed.
There's room for more than one of us.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
And you guys actually had the patient in mind, which is what I was all about.
Yeah, that was the whole.
That's what I'm trying to achieve.
I think it was put in their face. Someone said because someone must have called the planning department and said, you know, have any special use permits been issued? No. Well, then, why are they there? Because they basically, to my knowledge,
did you get specific confirmation from Mike Ferry or whoever did this? I guess it was his superior or his coworker, that there actually was a particular complaint.
No, we never got it.
That's what they told me. The planning department actually said that they just started getting complaints. Phone calls started coming in. That's why they had to do it.
Phone calls came in inquiring or complaining?
Complaining that they were downtown because of the High Times article.
Because of the Good Times article.
The Good Times, I mean.
Yeah, we need some High Times around here, and the Good Times
the
is
good
certainly
times
not the
article.
High. But let me ask you about the Good Times article. Had you, you know, did they postpone that article at all, kind of, you know, out of deference to you? Were you in a situation where it could have, did you actually invite them to come in, or did they kind of discover you and then ask if they could come in? How did that come about, that the Good Times got in there?
A particular reporter had overheard a conversation I was having. And asked if he could do a story on it. And
did you delay it at all, or did you just immediately say sure?
We went back and forth for about a week as to whether or not we want that level of publicity. But we felt, because we were there, we'd been there for a month, a good 6 weeks at least, we felt...
You might get some sane and rational treatment from a compassionate Santa Cruz City Council.
Maybe... Why were we able to operate without loitering and street dealing and all these things? You know,
I think they prefer street dealing down. It gives the police something to do. You know, I mean, Frankly, I mean, I don't know if that's true or not, although I know that, that's obviously the result of closing down legal centers. You get people getting them from illegal centers, and unless you're cutting off people's hands or, you know, sending them to Iraq or other questionable punishments.
If you go and look, if you visit the other facilities, it's not taking place. You don't see people loitering or hanging around.
It's a matter of education.
It's really not an issue.
The biggest issue here is the public needs to be educated. Those
exactly.
the patients are already aware because they've been to some of these facilities.
It's so not the public, though. I mean, look at it.
Yes, it is.
The public
it's
is not calling
business.
For them
it's
to
the
close
business.
You down.
Well, hold on. It's the downtown business owners. It's those who are
afraid.
Unaware.
They are uneducable, I'm afraid. I don't think they're educable. They want you to go somewhere else.
Well, they see what they see on the news and on TV, which, as we know, is word of God, right?
Uh-huh. Well, that opinion will stay until it's changed.
Yeah,
and
but
to change it, you have to open and show that it doesn't operate that way.
Every time we have been given the opportunity to explain to someone what a dispensary is, all of a sudden, if they were against it in the first place, and we've talked to some building owners and property owners that have considered leasing space to us, and they say, well, what do you want to do? Well, we want to operate a medical marijuana dispensary. They go, oh, God, I don't know. We've got enough problems with vagrancy and this and that. And I said, okay, well, give me a minute here. Let me explain something to you. We now have multiple tenants in the building we were at, which is one of the reasons why we went ahead and did it. Now we have as far as I know, there isn't a single tenant in that building that has something that can complain about our activities.
Everything but what I'm saying, Peter, what I'm
now
saying.
Now we can say to these property owners that this is what our...
But you see, beforehand, for 5 years, from 95, or 3 years at least, 95, 90, I think it was longer, there was a club a block away from you that was open, and there was no problem. And the merchants didn't call for the club to be closed down. It was completely illegal. They could have done that at any time. Now, in a situation where you are fundamentally legal, with the exception of the fact you don't fit into that one aspect of that particular ordinance, suddenly you get closed down. I don't think there was a war cry from the merchants about you. I think this was a bureaucratic decision, maybe which they used as an excuse or a pretext, this complaint, but it was a bureaucratic decision made at the planning commission level.
Well, every
you know, or the planning
every,
department
you never
level.
Really
you know.
Every business.
No,
owner,
but I don't think it's Reno.
Every business owner
yeah.
in the downtown business district knows that they are in that district, and they are aware of the fact that the ordinance does not allow for dispensary in that district. So they've never had to worry about one opening across the street from them, down by the movie theater.
They didn't
or
worry about one.
So they didn't worry about it. So
no,
now when it came
no,
out
no,
in the
no,
paper
no.
that we are in the
in
downtown
the 90s,
business district,
there was one open that they didn't worry about, and there was no call to close it. I don't think that they've gotten more conservative in the last 8 years, Mandrea.
You know, they have gotten more conservative.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. Our business people?
We opened up a dispensary right on the corner of Maple and Cedar, one block from downtown in 1994. That predates Proposition 215 by 2 years.
Right.
And we had parties on the side of the side lot every month. We had big pot parties. And we had a doctor that came down. We had on-site consumption. And we had a doctor that would come down from the Bay Area.
And an illegal radio station in the basement, I might add.
And an illegal pirate radio. This terrible, these people, these anarchists down in the basement who at 3 o'clock in the morning would be on the air and saying, come on down to Maple and Cedar and it's party time. Bring your beer. And Scott and...
I never said that. I gotta tell you.
But we operated until 1998, and without a complaint, and there were several hundred patients.
And so did Peter and Matt. They operated without a complaint during their entire period. So my point is, it's not the merchants that are doing this, although I think I haven't got any great sympathy for the merchants. You know me. I think it is a bureaucratic decision made inside that. But I don't know either, so I can't say.
It's like, yeah. You never really know.
I haven't got the evidence.
One hand's doing one thing.
I mean,
you're watching
one. We could take Mike Ferry
else.
Out and and get him drunk and see. Or get him maybe
so
stoned. Or
my thinking is they are more conservative now. They just don't want to make waves. They don't want to do anything that might potentially end up in a lawsuit.
I don't think
that's the Santa Cruz. Why don't you fire that one up?
That's the Santa Cruz that I don't know. Santa Cruz has always been the leader in this kind of stuff. And a friend of mine today said, if Santa Cruz doesn't do it, who's going to do it?
Well,
somebody else, obviously.
That's what I was under the illusion for so many years, that Santa Cruz is right at the forefront of... I have a lighter here.
Well, we have... I wouldn't even call it civil disobedience happening. This is legal behavior actually happening. I'm not going to go into great description.
We're all patients. It's not illegal.
We're patients.
Just don't
I'm being cut off here from my supply. Yes, actually, medicating oneself with medical marijuana is legal activity, not illegal activity, if you are, a patient. Of course, the feds would say otherwise, but then they're not very enlightened in this situation.
That wasn't me, Mom.
So if you want to, maybe try to involve yourself and get a contact high, give a call to 427-3772. Looks like Peter's about to skip town before the feds show up. And I want to thank you, Peter Koch, for coming in, and thank you for coming into Santa Cruz and trying hard. And I still resent the fact you didn't take my advice to drum up some real heavy shit and bring it to city council regularly and get the patients mobilized. But that's me, I got my...
Well, I figured if I wasn't going to get anywhere, I had to do it disassociating myself from you.
Yeah, that's for sure, of course.
Well, let's do it
Everyone
together.
Agrees on that, of
I'll
course.
Bring my patients, you bring your patients, and
right.
now we'll meet at city council.
We have actually an opportunity coming up. That's going to be on the 16th of July. Now, I don't know if Valerie will feel we're crashing her party because there's a Women's Alliance for Medical Marijuana, WAM, again, doing this march at 12 noon. Andrea, what do you think? Is this a good opportunity to go to City Hall? It's at noon, and it's going to start on the in downtown Santa Cruz, beginning at the corner of Pacific and Cathcart, and walking
the council meeting
to the Santa Cruz City Council. I believe the council meeting is... This is on a Saturday, so this is not a council meeting, but it's a press conference at City Hall. I'm saying Valerie can have a press conference, and I hope she does, but I think unless she raises the issue of local activity and isn't just a rah-rah, let's all organize for WHAM and to fight the feds, which I think we should, don't get me wrong,
right.
But we also have to be aware that it's also meaningless unless we get some legal stuff. I'm getting a little confused here.
I think we should absolutely be there. Everybody,
right.
All the medical marijuana patients and the WHAM members as well.
Uh-huh.
Everyone should come
they're
to that.
For
what
nice
I'm saying
much.
Is if all of you are willing to show up there and maybe be speakers, if not, I'm not sure, I haven't talked to Valerie about this and I haven't talked to the organizers of that event, but obviously we can have there can be a secondary event nearby that continues it. There can be a group of people who are suggesting an alternative. If the main event doesn't want to deal with that issue, then the secondary event can deal with it.
Well, I don't think we need a secondary event. We should be united on this.
I agree.
Exactly.
I agree. Valerie,
both
on give us a call.
Our 427 for the race decision, yeah. And also that we should have an ordinance. We should really work on that.
That you can
amending the ordinance. We should have a real ordinance that makes it a favorable environment
really comply with.
For medical marijuana patients and people, dispensary people like yourselves that want to start out. We're all patients.
And like I said, we have programs that we'll offer for the indigent, homeless folks and stuff. And and that's taking care of the patients. And insurance won't pay for this yet, so. Mm-hmm. Somebody has to do it. That's a medication that's available that helps people and
Peter's,
doesn't debilitate
Peter's got
them.
Something to say here.
Absolutely.
And Peter's saying he's taken off. He says that if you want to get in touch with him, do it through Andrea. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm just saying.
She can continue.
More about what we're doing. Andrea and I have been in touch quite a bit.
Okay.
Well, I'd rather you speak about what you're doing because.
Right. So if anybody wants to call in and get some information.
Seeing as I haven't been in touch with you much lately.
Indeed. Peter is notorious. The man who has not returned, what is it, 8 calls? I'm not sure. But
well,
at least he got came to the studio.
In an hour time? I mean, come on.
Not exactly.
So will you return
the same time every hour, every week, maybe. But no, I appreciate you coming in, Peter, really do. And
well, I'm sure we'll be in touch.
All right. Thank you. And again, if you got questions for anybody here, Peter's leaving, but I guess Andrea can provide information that Peter might otherwise provide. The number is 427-3772. The studio with us, we also have Lisa, Cindy, and Andrea, and there's me here. You're tuned to Free Radio. I think we're going to give these folks a brief break and listen to a little musica and hopefully get some calls from you.
On the standing still. I pray to the open sky with open arms. I will never feel homeless. No cover.
It's about 3:45 on June 26th, Sunday afternoon, at Sin Fronteras Cafe, talking with
Philip
and
Francis.
The two of you are playing this game of marbles and called Moncala, but that's not relevant to the question at hand, because after having 15 minutes doing a long interview with you and that not getting on tape, we're now going to try a 5-minute interview, and which I'm good standing.
And actually, that was about to play an interview that happened after a meeting with Tony Madrigal and the Human Rights Organization. But before I do, I'm actually going to play that Human Rights Organization meeting itself, which I won't be able to do until Sunday when I come back. That's the this Sunday appearance of Bathurst Piers Broadsides, the show you're listening to. You are tuned to 101.1 FM and www.freakradio.org. And you've been hearing a rather extended conversation about the attempt to open medical marijuana facilities in Santa Cruz, the so far futile attempt by a number of people. The most recent person trying to do this is Lisa Molino, who's been working with Greenways and trying to get a center open in the Harvey West. We heard from Peter Koch, who's with the Pacific Coast Cooperative, Andrea Tischler, who has actually got the Compassion Flower Inn open, but that's not a distribution center. That's simply a bed and breakfast place where folks are allowed to medicate, and actually you can medicate anywhere, any motel you want, any radio station for that matter, if you are, you know, under Proposition 215, if you are doing so for medical purposes and with the appropriate medical recommendation or medical condition. Anyway, you can also join us at pagesincolor.com, or you can call in at 427-3772. I'm a little slow on the uptake here, and what I'd hope to play, I don't really want to do that until after you actually have heard the discussion on the sleeping ban that Councilmember Tony Madrigal, or the non-discussion on the sleeping ban, I should say, that Tony Madrigal gave the Human Rights Organization and some other folks on last Sunday at Sin Fronteras. Actually, I announced that was happening, and I will be getting, we'll be hearing that this Sunday. You'll also be hearing a debate with Michael Rotkin, the mayor of Santa Cruz, much to my chagrin, and against Paul Marcellin Sampson on the issue of Measure X. That's the utility tax coming down the pike. You can read about that on Indy Media. www.santacruz.indymedia. Don't try to read Becky Johnson there. She's not allowed on Indy Media. But other people are, and that particular subject is covered there, as are a lot of other good subjects, and I recommend it for that purpose. Well, let's get back to Lisa here, who's still in the studio with Cindy.
I was going to say, do you want us to still be here?
Sure, sure. I mean, I'm looking over some of the notes I made when we had our phone conversation. You were really very forthcoming.
I'm trying to be.
Yeah, I think so. Try to get close to that mic. You have to be about an inch away for it to show up properly. You don't have to, you know, that's at least that's my theory on this. You said you were waiting for some input from the Harvey West Neighbors Association. Did you ever get that input? Because Harvey West is where you would like to open your place, but are you getting flack from the neighbors? Or?
Well, there's a business association there that I guess I don't consider it flack necessarily. Any business is going to have concern of loitering.
No, no.
Until it happens and we can show that there's not going to be a negative impact to the neighborhood.
Are they trying to block it or?
No, I don't think so. Well, they just had
their concerns.
Relayed some concerns to the city, and the city planning department would basically just put a clause on it that says, you know, if this happens, if there's a lot of loitering, we could lose our permit.
So it's not a ban.
No.
The banning person is the city attorney.
He's the one that has stopped it.
And the failure of the city council to act on this, or the planning department.
I guess I don't understand all the political moves that can take place there, but it was passed on to the planning commission, who at that point
were going to hold a hearing, but then they suddenly stopped because of the city attorney.
The attorney stopped it.
Right.
We had it scheduled for June 16th, and now it's off the agenda indefinitely. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to get it back on the agenda for, I think it's July 21st.
Okay.
And if I don't make that one, we'll be hurting, because I think August the whole city council is gone. I don't think they meet.
They don't meet
in August.
But they got better things to do than meet.
Apparently. But so the step is the planning commission then sends it on to the city council. But the city attorney John Barisoni apparently took his concerns right to the city council. And they were supposed to get back. The city planning department told me that they would be getting back to me Tuesday with their directives for it.
You know, when we hear as conservative a
I've
person...
I've heard nothing, and it's, you know, Thursday.
So, say that again. I'm sorry. So, they were supposed to get back to you on Tuesday.
Tuesday. And then I called the planning department. All the guys that I can talk to are on vacation.
Oh, well, then, you know, you just got to wait a few months, and they'll come back.
Yeah.
Or weeks, actually. Yeah. You know, I know that you are trying to, you know, methodically go through the different levels of command and, you know, the different appropriate committees, groups, and so forth. But, you know, my response is when I see this need being not met, and I see this dilatory activity or lack of action happening at this official level, it is to say, well, you need to get some more direct action going here. And or somebody does. Maybe
yes.
You don't. Somebody
well,
does.
I would like to.
I mean, we've heard, you know, even, you know, one of our conservative callers, Bob LaMonica, who's taken me to task for giving what I call the Heil Krone salute when they tried to shut down a peace activist at city council inappropriately. I went like this, quietly, said nothing, just did that, and I was arrested. And we're still suing the city on that particular arrest. But he didn't like that. He thought that was disruptive. He's talking, I think, and I agree with his opinion. There needs to be some peaceful, strong, massive civil disobedience around this issue that not only, you know, is a one-time event, but is a regular kind of deal. It's, you know, I set up a distribution center, an ad hoc distribution center for, you know, where, I mean, we were going to do this with what's called the Huff and Puff Project, where Huff comes in and one day we have a table on the mall and we say, let's see your recommendations. We have a care provider there at the table. We're going to check them out. We come back in a week. We give you a number. You got recommendations? We got marijuana for you, you know, medical marijuana. And the thing that slowed and stopped that project was we wanted to make sure we had the right quality marijuana. We wanted to be able to go after, you know, to have somebody to appropriately check out the recommendations. And, it was more of a publicity stunt than a real thing. But it would put pressure on the city council if that started happening on a regular basis on the sidewalk, you know?
I think that's the next step for sure. At this point, they haven't denied it, but they've certainly left me hanging in limbo. I don't know what the next step is. I've actually contacted, you know, the ASA is involved, and they'll start focusing more on it themselves, and they have a lot of...
Think about helping work volunteering for a Huff and Puff project or your own Greenways project where you set up a table on the 16th at City Hall right down the way from where Valerie Corral is speaking and invite people to come over and start processing them there.
Should I wear a shirt with a red target?
With a red target. Maybe
target right on it.
You know, and maybe a kick me on the back.
It's
true.
That's what it takes. That's what it takes. When I came into this, the idea was to make it happen.
I haven't given
up the fight.
You can call Mike Rotkin, who's coming on the air
on
Sunday. He'll be coming. I assume he's coming into the studio. I mean, he's going to be talking about Proposition Measure X, and we're trying to focus on that. But, you know, there may be a few random calls of another nature that may inquire into his. And I think Mike is
ever loquacious, always willing to give his opinion on a number of subjects.
He hasn't backed down yet.
But he hasn't done shit yet, right?
Not yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I know that he said, he told me that he was meeting with the ACLU.
Oh, yeah. He's on the board of directors of the ACLU. But he's been on the board of directors for some time. He's the one who had that light up with Arnie rally a year and a half ago, made a solemn public commitment to move to reform the medical marijuana law, but for some reason just hasn't done it yet. I mean, maybe he just slipped his mind. It could be. Maybe he needs to be reminded. 420-5020. 420-5020. Please call him.
Santa Cruz has always been a forward-thinking city, and suddenly it's...
ass backwards.
It's a stop city. We want to continue moving this forward, so if you can, give a call and give your opinion, and hopefully it's a positive opinion.
Now, I see that this really, you've handed me a letter from Americans for Safe Access directed to the city attorney from Joseph D. Elford.
Well, it's
which
actually an unsigned letter. They emailed it to me so I could hand it to him, but they have mailed him a copy of that.
I see.
So.
Well, what it is it's from this person, I assume, Elford, and it deals with Barisoni's concern that the medical marijuana distribution centers and permitting them may make the cities liable under the Raich versus Ashcroft U.S. Supreme Court decision, which says we don't care what your stinking state law says, it's illegal not just to, you know, to give away marijuana or to share marijuana, but even to use marijuana or possess it. Even if you're as sick as a dog and that's the only way you can get your appetite up or deal with diabetes and deal with glaucoma, deal with whatever you got.
And let's not even talk about the federal medical marijuana program.
Right.
And
have no access. You're not one of the eight favored people, or whoever they are, in the federal program. You know,
that have been getting it for 30 years.
Right. So the question is, can you summarize what this letter says to our own very beloved city attorney, John Barisoni?
Well, it's a letter. I think it's not just to John Barisoni. I think it's probably sent out to all city attorneys addressing the fact, how the Raich decision holds up to the state laws. And basically it's just saying it's reciting cases that show that it hasn't changed, basically. But I haven't read the whole letter, so I can't. I just got this before I came up here, so I printed it and brought it with me. Let's see, I could read it, but I don't know if you want to go that far.
While you're reading it.
It says the decision reaffirming the Compassionate Use Act and declaring that today's ruling does not overturn California law permitting the use of medical marijuana. More than 130 years of binding precedent from the highest court of this state makes clear that state officers have an obligation to enforce state rather than federal law. It goes on. It talks about SB 420.
It's essentially a response, though, that says that there are some legal authorities who are quite persuaded that it's not going to put the city in a vulnerable position.
That it's still a state law. And
maybe what you
still
want to do is get about 15 attorneys to sign a letter, and also while they're at it, maybe suggest that John Barisoni should take a long trip and, you know, use his fine retirement fee and let somebody else in there for a while.
And maybe read SB 420.
Well, you know, that's maybe asking for a little too much. We don't want to put too many burdens on our city attorney.
I think the purpose of the letter is to alleviate the issue that California state law is still California state law.
Right.
And
right, but the
we
problem
live in California.
The problem is that we live in Santa Cruz, and in Santa Cruz for 5 years there's been no medical marijuana club, and frankly, folks, this is not a coincidence.
Maybe John lives somewhere else.
I don't know where John lives. He lives close enough to certainly get down here frequently, and I just wish he worked somewhere else, frankly. I mean, and I don't say this with any malice toward him as a person. He's a nice guy.
Me either.
You know. We've been talking with Lisa Molyneux and the mysterious Cindy and a number of other people who aren't in the studio. But if you want to get in touch with Lisa, there is a phone number to contact her at. Her phone number is 408-829-9096. This is Bathrop Spears Broadsides. And I guess the one thing that should be said, Lisa, before you go, is that you're not only interested in providing, expensive marijuana to well-heeled residents, but you have actually a plan for providing free marijuana to those who need it. Is that accurate?
Exactly. SB 420 actually calls out discounted product for patients on Medi-Cal and such things, but we'll take it a little farther, and that would include homeless, disability, people on disability, people with just general low income, because I know several elderly folks that use medical marijuana, and it's very tight in their budget to afford it. And I've seen them travel from other cities to a facility in Oakland where they could get a free care package. Now, a lot of places, a lot of dispensaries don't offer that, and they should be, because the idea is it's a nonprofit organization that takes care of their patients. And I think it begins right where we live. So most all profit from Greenway will get turned back into the system for the patients so that they can get free care packages. Now, those patients have to be qualified, of course, and maybe Huff and some other places like that can help qualify the patients that, yes, they really are in this situation and really on this.
Or we can get some folks like Andrea and maybe a couple of other. There's some people like Anita Henry who's been working on this issue for a long time.
She used the word united. So yeah,
Jim Losey from, and maybe even Valerie Corral. Dare I say her name might actually sort of step up to the plate here.
She's actually
call
been talking.
In Valerie.
Yeah, she's been talking to the city council. Apparently, she sent an email just saying that they have been in. Even though I had not talked with her and met with her about it, she was at bat with them.
I see.
Now nobody has, you know. The issue still hasn't come forward, so...
For some strange reason, yeah.
I'm still paying and holding on.
Yeah, you're paying $5,000 a month and holding on.
Yeah, and if any, I'm trying to sublease half of my facility.
So for those of you who are listening who give a shit about poor people out there and their access to medical marijuana, we have a woman here in the studio who actually claims to be willing to pass on poor medical marijuana, not poor marijuana, mind you, good marijuana, to poor people. Is that accurate?
Yeah. Exactly.
You promise?
I promise.
Cross your heart and hope to die?
That was...
Let's get open.
That's the mission. That's my mission statement. That's the whole idea. I've been to a lot of these facilities. There are some that are helping. There are others that aren't. And, you know, that's going to exist in any business. But the idea of starting this whole thing was to be an example.
And we have a caller. Hi there, caller. You're on Free Radio with us.
Hey, Robert, it's the other Andrea. How you doing?
Good. What's happening, Andrea?
Oh, not much. Well, it's that time this weekend, and I was thinking about getting off my walker and trying to find a spot. I'm just trying to decide on my sign if it should say disabled and need donations or disabled and cannabis list. What do you think?
What do you think there, Lisa?
Somebody that could use our facility.
Yeah, yes. So these are folks, apparently. You've been listening to the show, right, Andrea?
Yes, yes.
What do you think of what you've heard?
I think I heard a lot of good, I mean, positive and honest remarks. And, well, you know how our notorious council is. It's definitely not going in my direction. And when I heard you last week or the other day talking about taking that walk down by the levee, I mean, I don't even have the money to do it, but then, you know, I thought about that, and I thought, well, gosh, if I go do that, you know, then I somehow have to be armed, because I hear about muggings and stuff like that, and it's kind of scary. I did the mall crawl a couple months ago, and that was a little uncomfortable, and so I'm a little bit leery of the levee.
Leery of the levee.
Sounds
you.
Like a song.
Well, Andrea, thanks. Any specific questions for Lisa and Cindy, or do you have any comments for Andrea?
Well, just being an old disabled vet that needs some, you know, marijuana, I could sure use any donations are more than welcome. Like I said, disabled and cannabis list.
Well, hopefully we can get our facility open, Andrea, and help yourself and other people like you out.
But they ain't going to do it unless you call 420-5020 repeatedly, everybody out there, and tell them people to get off the stick. And also attend the July 16th march, beginning at Cathcart and Pacific at noon and going to City Hall. And then maybe, who knows, maybe we can coax Lisa into a medical marijuana distribution process going on there for those who have valid cards or recommendations.
Yeah,
and maybe a smoke out over on the other side for those who don't. By God, you know, let's get real here, folks.
Did you hear the mayor's latest song that he wrote on the guitar? It's called Homegrown Blues in G, and he dedicated it to Marty Wormhout for her courageous vote against that grant to the Sheriff's Department.
Oh,
it was on the Council News and Blues this last couple weekends. Don't worry, I have a VHS tape I'm making for you, Robert. I got it on there. there's a couple other songs on there too, and he's a kind of strange guy. I'm still trying to figure him out.
Well, Mike Rodkin likes to keep his fingers in many pies, but in terms of the political power pie, it's just very hypocritical. On the campus, he's a feminist socialist come downtown, and he supports the sleeping ban, which criminalizes poor people. I mean, it's a very bizarre. You know, he wants to do songs about medical marijuana, but then, of course, he won't put it on the agenda to change it, and he won't facilitate Lisa's permit, although apparently he keeps telling her he will. Now, maybe he is. Maybe there's some secret process. If so, you know, strike me down and, you know, and smear mud in my booba-hooba.
And then, of course, you know, he shows up at the Rio Theater on Friday, May the 13th, and shows up after that movie, Waiting to Inhale, was over and the crowd had depleted, and I'm sitting out there on my walker, and he looked straight at me and, whoa, had to skedaddle into the theater real fast.
Yeah, that was a situation where Mike Rodkin, the man who will not give out his appointment book publicly, although that's required under the Sunshine Act passed last November by the voters and done by other executives up and down the coast, he doesn't want you to know he's going to be at these events because he will be perhaps challenged by some critics who say, you talk a good line, but you're really full of shit unless you take some action. And that, of course, is what we're facing. I'm going to let you go.
Yeah, well, for everybody out there, thanks for all your input. And if anybody has the medical cannabis that they can leave with Robert North, it'd be well appreciated. Thanks a lot.
Hey. Right. You know, come and get me, feds and state narcs. I'm available. I'm right here.
We all have targets on our shirt.
Right. It's getting bigger, my target.
It is.
Right. Hints, of course, are hints and not necessarily promises. Anyway, Lisa, I want to thank you for coming in. I'm going to turn to a couple of last things before I...
Thanks for having us in. And
it's really great.
Getting the word out that we're trying and...
And getting your patients dried as well.
Getting more people to call in, and
think about doing something on the 16th or before another time. I mean, maybe it might be considered tacky to do this at Valerie's, you know, event, but it's not Valerie's event. It's about medical marijuana, and Andrea's put it that way.
So let's talk.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll meet again. I'm sure we'll meet again. You give me a call and keep me advised as to what I can do. And if anybody wants to reach Lisa again, Lisa Molinow of Greenways is at 408-829-9096. And Cindy's probably somewhere lurking in the background there as well, if you want to reach her. Thank you both very much for coming in.
Thanks a lot, Robert.
I appreciate it.
Pleasure.
I'll leave that with you. Hey, now's your chance to call in and talk to me alone. Think of that. You had your opportunity to talk to four knowledgeable people. They're clearing out.
Now we're scared. Right?
And you're stuck with me.
Thanks, Robert.
Yeah, sure. And the call-in number is 427-3772, 427-FRSC. Couple of things I was going to be talking about, and I want to remind you that it's big debate time on Sunday in 3 days, and a couple of issues, the Measure X issue, which to me, frankly, is not that sexy, but I saw some interesting back and forth on indie media about it between Paul Marcel and Sampson and Ed Porter, and I thought, wow, a chance where there can actually be a dialogue between council members and the community, what a concept. So I invited Porter to come on. Porter declined, although I think he did so as a possibility of coming on. He was going to call last week, maybe, but he didn't. I don't call him Pinprick Porter for nothing. The guy is hypersensitive to criticism, and frankly, he's got to get over it. You know, we're talking about the public here, being able to deal with the public, even critics in the public, and I think that's one of the responsibilities council members have, I'm afraid. And, you know, I may be ruining my chances of getting invited to Ed's, I don't know, senatorial race, whatever is coming down the pike, but that's how it goes. Anyway, I intended to have Mike Rodkin did agree to be on the air to talk about Measure X. That's going to happen 10 to 11:30. I believe Paul Marcel and Sampson will be in the studio earlier. He's a local activist who's been active in a number of issues. Metro Writers Union has been active around, I think, gay rights issues. He's also worked on the Party at Your Peril ordinance, and that passed the city council, as some of you may know. That's the increased fines and what some regard as discriminatory action against tenants Simply on the complaint of somebody next door doesn't like the noise, anytime up to a period of 12 months, you can be faced increasing fines. Every time the police are called, you're going to have to pay for the police. It's something, you know, that might, you know, there is a problem, obviously, that some people presented to Mike Rodkin, and this is his answer. But instead of drawing in other interested people to really work out a moderated answer to this, he rammed through his own measure. With Tony Madrigal and Tim Fitzmaurice, to their credit, dissenting. And you're going to hear me trashing Tony Madrigal on the sleeping ban issue, which he needs to be thoroughly, you know, beaten about the head and shoulders on. But on other issues, I've got to give him some credit. He, for whatever reason, I haven't listened to the entire debate on this party at your peril ordinance, although I hope to do that before Sunday. When it had a second reading on Tuesday, and as I say, it was passed 5-2 with Madrigal and Fitzmaurice dissenting. He voted against it. He voted at least to give it some time for 4 months to postpone it, to give the students a chance to join the dialogue, the community to join the dialogue. And like Crone and Sugar, like 4 years ago, voted essentially against the downtown ordinances, which were also rammed through in the middle of the summer by... It was a Kennedy group. It was the Porter Kennedy Riley bunch that did that at that time. Rodkin wasn't on the council. Crone and Sugar I think they disagreed fundamentally with the ordinance as violation of civil liberties, but they also felt that it shouldn't be done in the middle of the summer when the rest of the community wasn't there, when it was one of the prime groups that had impacted, had no meaningful chance to have discussion about it. So. I tip my hat to Tony for his vote on that issue. I hope that we see some other good votes. I think when the community watches more and holds Madrigal to account, it's more likely he's going to act in a commendable fashion. It's, you know, and we can always hope for that. About 12 minutes left until the next programmer. That's going to be Uncle Dennis with From the Cream to the Dregs. I don't think I'm really going to have time to do much on-the-street interviewing, which means interview playing, which means I'm not going to... I'm going to be playing a lot of those interviews, or more than I would have thought, on the Sunday session after the debate. There's also going to be some discussion of the proposed banning of my producer, Becky Johnson, from Free Radio Santa Cruz, which is being brought up internally at the Free Radio Santa Cruz Collective. And it's something that, you know, it is an internal issue, so I'm mentioning it here briefly, but it has ramifications in the community. And Huff passed a resolution about this. That's the group I work with, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, on Wednesday, essentially suggesting that Becky get a fair hearing where she's entitled to have, you know, to speak on her own behalf and have, you know, be informed of the charges and that sort of thing. And that also we advise it's not a really good approach, that, you know, that we're not persuaded it's a good move for them to make. And of course, you know, Free Radio will do its own thing and improperly. It should do its own thing. I have a caller. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hey.
Ho.
So yeah, it's really not your business, Robert, to be talking about the internal decisions of Free Radio Santa Cruz on the radio.
Uh-huh. Well, it depends on whether it impacts the community, I think.
No, it doesn't. It does not.
Well, I don't think you would want to be engaging in censorship around this, would you? I mean, or would you?
Yeah, actually, when I take part in a collective, I go ahead and I maintain the wishes of the collective, and when there's still stuff that's being discussed, I don't go ahead and talk about that on the air. So, everything that you read on a private list is private, Robert. It's not to be broadcast on the air. You're just trying to fan flames, you know?
I'm not trying to fan flames. I think I'm trying to...
Well, it was good that you chimed in, you know?
It was good
that... You're welcome to come to meetings, Robert.
Yes.
But, you know...
I think when
to use your show as a forum to talk about the stuff that's being discussed within the collective is totally inappropriate.
I don't know. If it impacts the community, I think it's relevant.
No, Robert, it's not okay.
Well, I understand you disagree with me on this.
For the things that... You know, it's up to a collective to decide things as a collective, Robert. It's not up to you to decide.
I haven't decided anything.
It's not up to you. Yes, you have. You just went on the air and started talking about things that the Free Radio Collective is discussing.
I'm saying that there's a proposal to ban an individual. To ban an individual. I think that's a serious thing. I really do.
Okay, well then, go to a meeting.
I will.
Speak up about it.
I will.
Yeah, but to talk about it.
But by the time
I
get there and we have that discussion, it will all be a done deal, won't it? That's the point. It'll all be finished. There'll be no chance for input from the community of any kind.
Robert.
And I think that's important.
So bring that up at the talk about that. You know, say bring that up.
I am talking about it.
Say, hey, how would you all feel if I started discussing this with the community? You know, it's not a done deal. There's certain things that, you know, Becky has a history of violating people's privacy, and it's like you're doing that too to the collective by saying things that have just been mentioned in passing on, you know, in internal discussions.
A formal resolution was put forward, I thought. And I thought that was clearly done and to inform all of us.
No, somebody said, hey, this is something I'm thinking about talking about at the next meeting.
Thinking about talking about?
This is something I'm planning to talk about at the next meeting, what was said. There's no proposal, and even if it was,
there's
still
no
a
proposal.
Thing.
Okay, well, I have a different understanding of it, and you know, maybe I'm misunderstanding it, and if I am, I will be corrected. But my understanding was that there is a formal proposal that will be brought up at the next meeting, not a sort of an informal chat, which would, I think, I quite agree with you, be not a matter for me to really be talking about, but a formal proposal with a deadline that's coming up. That's my concern. That's the reason.
It's still not, whatever you're concerned about, it's still not your business to go talking about the things that are being internally discussed. This is a place for people to talk, brainstorm, communicate, you know, but it's not like a public statement. Do you know why the things are, you know, it's like you got to respect privacy, and you're not respecting people's privacy.
People's privacy. I think when a group is attempting to exclude an individual, and that seems to be a developing movement
okay,
in
well,
a group.
Okay, check it out. I've got shit to do. You're going in circles with this. I appreciate you allowing
okay, we
me to go on
sure,
the air
of course,
to talk about
we,
this.
Of course, we disagree. So I appreciate your opinion, too. Thanks for calling in.
Okay, thanks.
Alrighty. Phone number is 427-3772, and I'm going to, you know, I will defer to what sounds like a concern by a Free Radio Collective member that he wants to have this matter discussed, you know, more privately rather than publicly. There's not much time here on the air anyway, and I'm concerned though that ultimately this is a significant issue of public policy. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Robert?
Yes.
What I just overheard, that sounds like that is a dirty little secret. Let's just keep it real quiet. And I had the thought too. It's like, what's happening with Free Radio Santa Cruz? Is it getting corrupted too? And let's just keep our dirty little secrets, you know, silent. That's all I had to say.
Okay, thank you. There are conflicting things to be weighed here, and I don't normally talk about matters that might, you know, be regarded as internal matters. But I got to point out that at KPFA, discussing internal policies became the basis for excluding members from KPFA who were on the left. And I would remind the Free Radio Santa Cruz Collective member who called in that that's what happened there. When William Mandel and others tried to talk about the shitty behavior that was going around in the management, it was called internal discussions, and it was illegal and not permitted and censored and so forth. So I think that if an issue has a significant bearing on the community and what the community is going to get, the community has a right to know about it. And frankly, the collective has the right to get some input from the community on the issue. And members of the collective have the right to get that kind of input. That's my feeling. Hi, you're on Free Radio. Hello, you're on the air.
Robert.
Yes, sir.
I have to agree with Bradley. Free Radio Collective has made absolutely no decision about whether Becky Johnson is even a member of the collective, let alone whether she can come to the studio or not. It's not appropriate for you to bring this up in public until the collective has made a decision. It is also not the business of the public to affect the decision of the collective. And if you don't understand that principle, maybe you'll understand the policy that if you discuss internal matters in the collective, it is grounds for being asked to leave the collective. That's a current policy for the Free Radio Collective. We'll see you in a few minutes, Robert. Bye.
Okie doke. And that is Uncle Dennis, who will be on the air shortly with From the Cream to the Dregs, expressing his opinion on the issue. Yeah, I mean, I think I maybe I don't understand, you know. But I did raise the issue, and I take responsibility for raising it. And I will be thinking about that before my next show and the debate with Rotkin and so forth. And I hope everybody else is going to be a part of the upcoming debates, at least around the public policy issues that we think are important. I think, you know, I do have a tendency to try to be open about issues that don't clearly involve privacy issues. I don't think I'm violating anybody's privacy here on this issue so far. I really don't. And I understand a lot of people disagree with me based on this policy rule. It sounds like at least two people do, and maybe more. So I may face some consequences for this, and I should be ready to deal with that. And I'll be talking more, well, either after this issue is decided, you know, because then I presume it would be a public policy, or responding to people who talk on the air about this issue, if and when it comes up. Because for me, it's an issue of public policy. And it's not just an issue of policy here. Free Radio Santa Cruz is a very important community resource, which a lot of us continue to support. And I hope you do, too. If you would want to support Free Radio, give a call to 427-4523. That's the call-in number to register your support. And any other public service announcements you may have or messages for Free Radio staff. And I also have to say that I don't think Free Radio Santa Cruz is above criticism. I'm not above criticism. The collective isn't above criticism. And I think we've got to be responsive to public input. I really do. And that makes me a bad boy. I apologize, but that's the boy I am. Anyway, thanks for being with me on this edition of Bathrobes, Pierre's Broadsides. God and Collective Willing. I'll be with you again at 9:30 on Sunday, and the debate with Rotkin will take off at that point, starting at 10, after actually there'll be some early introduction with Paul Marcel and Sampson. Very quick call here. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Robert, that's really starting to concern me. It sounds like they've been corrupted. You can't say what you want to say. That's bad. Free radio, it ain't sounding like free radio. It ain't sounding free at all.
Thank you, caller. I think people should draw their own conclusions about what's going on, and I'm going to try to be clear about what's happening. I believe in free radio, and I believe that the people who called in who have views different than mine are equally sincere in their attempt to proceed with free radio. But there can be differences of opinion, and you've heard some of them today. Anyway, let's go out on a little music. And Uncle Dennis should be in the studio shortly. Thanks for being with me in this edition of Bathrobes, Pierre's Broadsides. And check out the Human Rights Organization. It's going to be meeting on Saturday at 1:45 at the dining hall area of the Homeless Service Center at 115 Coral Street. And they are actually having some success in proceeding to get some action from Councilmember Tony Madrigal. And they're going to be talking about that issue there and dealing with the sleeping ban. I should have some updates on that on Sunday. Thanks for being with me on this edition of Bathrobes, Pierre's Broadsides.
It made me feel like I was strong. It made me look like I belonged. It was a way to let the world know I was here.
Let's city, back of my neck getting dirt and gritty. Been down, isn't it a pity? Doesn't seem to be a shadow in the city. All around, people looking half dead, walking on the sidewalk harder than a match here. But tonight it's a different world. Go out and find a girl. Come on and dance all night. Despite the heat, it'll be alright. And babe, don't you know it's a pity the days can't be like the nights in the summer, in the city, in the summer, in the city. Cool town, meeting in the city, dressed so fine and looking so pretty. Cool cat, looking for a kitty, gonna look in every corner of the city. Till I'm wheezing like a bus stop, running up the stairs, gonna meet you on the rooftop. But at night it's a different world.